The 11th parak of Vasilis Yesharim, Befratei Midas HaNikias, the specifics of the Midah of Nikias. Pirtei Midas HaNikias Rabim Heimeod. There are multiple details of this Midah of Nikias, many, many specifics. Vehinam kechol ha-protim shebechol ha-shin samachim mitzvot saseh. Essentially, like all the details of all 365 isurim in the Torah. Because to be a naki is to be totally refined and free of any chet, which means you are exacting in your performance of the mitzvahs with all the details. Ki amnim idin hamidah kvar amarti. So the topic I've explained. Shulias naki bekol anfei averus, to be free of any branches of sin. And it's true that the Yetzirah really tries to get us to sin with all the averus. But there are some that we are naturally inclined towards those averus. And the Yetzirah will try to show a person more reasons to be lax and lenient in those areas. And therefore, we have to apply more chizuk and strengthen ourselves, and atzeach es yitzro, to vanquish the yitzer, uli nakos min achet, and be free of the chet. So, even though every single lois aseh has its issues that we have to be naki from, there are some that are harder than others. V'chein amar zal, that's what Chazal teaches us. Gezel v'arayos nafsho shel adam mecham dasan u'mas'av lehen. When it comes to stealing and immorality, a person is inclined towards those sins. He has a desire and a lust after those things, and therefore it's more difficult to be naki. Vihine, anachnu rum. So what do we see? She'af al pi shelo roiv b'nei ha'odim ganovim goloihem. Certainly most people are not outright robbers. Dehainu meaning she'yishlechu yad ma'amosh b'momen chavreim l'kachas v'sumich lehem. Very few people will actually go and take their hand and take someone else's money and put it in their pockets. Afal pikem, but nonetheless, rubam to'amim tam geneva, most people will taste the taste of stealing, b'masa'am u'matanam, in their business dealings with people, b'mashayo heter la'atzmam, when they'll determine for themselves that this is okay, v'histakir ish b'hefsedosh l'chavero, to profit at someone else's loss. V'yomu, they say, l'havir shani, this is business. Profits are different. There's nothing wrong with that. V'ulam lavim harbi nembegezel, you should be aware. There are many loisaseis in the Torah surrounding the issur of stealing. And it's not just the blatant pickpocket or taking money from someone else. The Torah says, lo sashoik, lo sigzoi, lo signovu, lo sechachashuv, lo sechaku ish bamiso, lo soni ish esachiv, lo sasik vorecha. Lo sashik usually refers to withholding pay that you owe somebody, then not to steal and not to rob and not to deny or lie about financial issues and not to overprice people, to price gouge, and don't encroach on his territory. These are all divisions of the laws of Gezel. And these incorporate all kinds of activities that people might normally do in the course of their general give and take in business. And in every one of them could be numerous isurim. Because it's not only the obvious and blatant robbery and withholding of payment that is forbidden. Anything which can lead to it and cause it is already forbidden. The Pasuk in Yecheskel says, he did not defile the wife of his friend, meaning he did not take away someone's Parnosa. For Hayab Yehuda Oisla Chavani, if Radio Yehuda prohibited the store owner, so Yechalei Kalayos Vegozam Latinoikos, that he said it's forbidden for a store owner to give out candies, to give out toasted kernels and nuts to children, La Gilam Shevo Etzlo, to get them to come to his store. The Chacham disagreed. Lohetir Chacham, the Chacham allowed it for one reason, Avleshagam Chaver Yochalasas Ken, because the competitor can do it too. So this is something that Chazal were concerned about. and it's a branch of gazel, to open a business to put someone else out of business is not allowed. It is not allowed. You can't say everything is okay because it's business. It's not true. Doing business does not give you license to do whatever you want. And if your business will put someone else out of business, that's wrong. Now, competition is fine. There's nothing wrong with competition in halacha, and competition is good for the customers. But if the community cannot support two of the same stores, then there's a valid claim that the second one has no right to open because it puts them out of business. It's only when the community is large enough to support both that we say this. But if one is going to put the other one out of business, or will intentionally undercut the competition to put them out of business, that's usur. You know how to do that. V'amu zachazal, teach us kasha gezel hedyet megezel gavoa. It's worse to steal from your neighbor, from a person, than to steal from Hashem. Shehiktim chet le'me'ila, because the Torah says not to steal from people before it says the isur of taking from hektish. We know that Chazal were very lenient on workers who are hired to work for Balabas, that they don't have to say all the brachas, they don't have to say the entire benching. The Shulchan Aruch says today we don't do that, but at one time they could say an abbreviated form of benching because they're hired to work, not to bench. And even the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, they don't stop working to do all three parashas of Shema. They just say the first parasha of Shema. So from here, we should be able to extrapolate that if you can't take off work time to say the whole Shema and to say the whole benching, then certainly you can't take off work time for things that have nothing to do with mitzvahs. Anyone who's hired to work for the day is not allowed to ignore his work that he owes to the person who employed him. And if he violates this, hires a gazlan. That's an element of gazela. The Gemara talks about Abba Chilkia. Tamid HaChacham gave him shalom aleichem while he was at work. He refused to answer them. Not to stop work, even for simply saying shalom aleichem. You know, if you're a teacher and someone you know is in the hallway and they want to say hello during class, it's usur. He wouldn't stop his work for a minute to say shalom aleichem. If you are employed to spend your time doing something, you don't have the right to go, oh, 1 second, and then give someone shalom aleichem. That's not your time. You owe that time. You're being paid for that time. You don't have the right to do that. Who would think that that's called gezel? That's the problem. We don't think about it. No one's Tama Gezel, Ramchal says, going to rob, not embezzling from the company. But if you're paid to work from 9 to 5, and you show up at 9:10 every day, and they're paying you from 9 to 5, something's wrong. Because they're paying you from 9, you're not there at 9. That's a problem. This is learned from Yaakov Avinu. He brings Yaakov Avinu, what did Yaakov Avinu say? He said it straight out for Omer. He's talking to Lavan, Hayisi b'yomachalani chayre v'kech b'layot yashnasim enoi, that during the daytime I suffered thirst, and at nighttime it was freezing cold and I wouldn't sleep. And the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes the pasuk that is the responsibility of an employee. Mayanu eifa oiskin banosei mishas malacha ubetema. So what is the worker going to say when he is busy at work time on his own things? So everyone's doing whatever they enjoy to do. Today, everyone's busy with the computer and they are doing all kinds of things. In the world at large, there are studies of how much time is wasted at the workplace on social media. And even if you're not engaged in social media, and if you're shopping online, it used to be people play solitaire. But now there's all kinds of things you do on the computer. No one's playing solitaire anymore, they're busy with other things. So how do you do that? You're being paid to work, not to do these other things. And there's all kinds of studies about how much money is being lost to huge corporations by employees who are not putting all their time into their work because they're doing things that have nothing to do with work on work time. And that's what Ramchal is saying, that when it comes to gazel, it's very difficult. It's one of the things that we are naturally inclined towards, and even if we're not chas v'shalom, we're going to take money outright, we're not going to embezzle from the company, but we do these things that are wrong. Now, the Ramchal puts it in his words. He says, "Kol shel davar." The rule of thumb is, Hasachar is a chaver leiz a melachas tiyeh. If someone's hired to do a work, he nekoshos of mechuros hein lo liyomo. Then he has sold his hours to his employer for the day. Kiddush Amar Chazal, like we say, Sechiris Mechir Leyome, hiring or rental, is a sale for the day. V'kalmash yikach mehen lanos atzman, if he takes from that for his own use, beiz or ovenshi, whatever it is, einu ela gezel gomer, and it's absolute gezel. V'mlo machon, if he's not moichel him, einu machon, then he's not forgiven. Shekvar Amar Abbasin, Zechon Vorach Lechazal, say, aver shmenon lechavero, ein yom kippur mechaper, at shiraz is chavero, that even the sins between people, Yom Kippur can't help unless he is moichel you. V'lo od, and not only that, shalafilu masa mitzvahs malach, if he does a mitzvah during his work time, which he's not being paid to do, lo litzdaka techashiv lo, that's not going to be his merit. El avera hi b'yadu, it's actually a sin. She'ein avera mitzvah, you can't make a mitzvah out of an avera. V'kor ksiv, soni gezel ba'oila, Hashem doesn't want your stolen animals for kabanos. If a person stole a measure of wheat and he grinds it and bakes it and makes a bracha, that's not a bracha. It's disgusts Hashem. Hashem can take such a thing. It's disgusting for Hashem. We say, woe to the person who, instead of having this as an advocate, becomes a prosecutor or an adversary. So this is a very important thing, that when a person undertakes a job, in order to avoid these issues of gezel, obviously they have to work their best and use their time for the company. But there are times that employees need a break, and the employer generally is okay with that. But when you go to the water cooler to get a drink or the coffee room, how long are you supposed to be there? And that becomes an issue. If you're there longer than you should, that could be a gezel issue. I don't think most companies mind if you get a drink or go to the bathroom, but they will mind if you take longer than you should during those breaks. It's also important to have an understanding with your employer concerning anything that may be outside of the realm. It really depends on what kind of job you have. So let's give it a quick example. Let's say you're tutoring. Someone hires you to tutor a child. This much an hour, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. You make up with the parent, and this what you get paid, this is the time you put in. I would generally suggest to discuss with the parent up front, is it okay if I talk with your kid, if they have a question to discuss, we won't spend every second doing math, science, chumash, gemara, whatever it is. You may want to ask me a question, you may want to talk a little bit. Is that okay? Because if it's not okay, that's really tough. That means you are tutoring for that time and can't have any conversation. Very often with the child you tutor, it's important to have a rapport. So it has to be understood from up front that that's okay. That is not in violation of the terms of our agreement, that I'm not going to be learning every second with your kid. We're going to, how was your day? Some of that. Make sure that's okay. That's one example. If you are working for a company, I don't think your boss would say, if you go to him and say, you don't mind if I spend 20 minutes a day shopping online, do you? Of course he minds. He doesn't want you to shop 20 minutes a day online. But you may want to make a personal phone call, and maybe ask, can I make a personal phone call? There's two questions. Number one, using the phone system, does that cost the company any money? And number two, there's a time element. So he may say, sure, keep it short. He may say, absolutely not. But you can't assume that on work time you can be on the phone with personal things. The shaila gets a little more complicated when your job is answer the phone. Now, what do I do in all calls? If that's your job, to maintain a phone and answering the service, or a secretary position where you've done your work and you're just sitting at the desk because someone has to be at the desk, receptionist, anything like that. So then you can ask during that time, is there something you want me to do for the office, for the school, for the company, or can I just do what I want? Maybe he doesn't care if you shop online while you're waiting for the phone call because it's just sitting there. So it depends on what you're hired to do. But most jobs, they don't want you doing online purchases. And again, it is very easy to violate the Yisurim of Gezel without being a bad person, if you're just not careful. I remember I went to a conference in New York of Rabbanim. This goes back a long time ago. And people did not at that time have internet access to all kinds of shiurim like you have today. And someone had this idea of coming out with Gemara on a CD. And you'd put a CD in your computer and you'd have the Gemara, and some of them had audio with visual. You see the Gemara and there's a shiur in the background. Today, like, came out, no one does it anymore because it's all online. But in those days, it wasn't. And they're making this presentation of how wonderful this is, and people at work who have time can put this in the computer and they could learn. And one of the rabbonim asked, but if he doesn't wear a yarmulke in the office, does he have to put on a yarmulke to learn the daf? And I said to the rabbi next to me, that's not the shaila. The shaila is he's over in a gazelle by learning on the job. He's being paid to work, not to learn the daf. You can't learn on your boss's time. He didn't hire you to go for the daf yom. He hired you to work. So the shaila isn't, do you have to put on a yarmulke? The shaila is, what right do you have to do that? Again, it's very easy to be moira heta, to find allowances, but you can't make up your own allowances. It depends on the agreement you have with your employer. We would talk about babysitting. When you're babysitting, do you have the right to use the phone? Do you have the right to eat their food? It could be they do, could be you don't. What do you make up with them? Discuss it. Is it okay? Is it not okay? Most time they'll say make it home, you take what you want, whatever it is, so then fine. But if they didn't make that arrangement with you, they're not. Now again, maybe today the phone is less of an issue. Everyone's got their own cell phones. But once upon a time, people didn't have cell phones. So you get a babysitting job and you spend the night on the phone in the house where you were. What are you going to do all night? So is that okay with them? Well, this is cool, whatever it is. So just make up in advance. Whatever the situation is, it's important to have a clear, upfront understanding of what I'm allowed to do, what I'm not allowed to do. I shouldn't be over on an Isser Gezel when I'm not, like I said, I'm not a bad person, but I assume it's okay, and it might not be okay. There's a story that is recorded in one of the books where Rav Kook was the Rav in Yaffa. He was presiding over a divorce, over a get. And just like at a wedding, we have witnesses under the chuppah, so too, by a divorce, there have to be witnesses. And the halacha is, in order to be a witness, whether it's for a wedding or whether it's for a divorce, the witness has to be a tzaddik. In some circles, the highest honor you can accord someone is to make them a witness by the chasna. We generally give the kavod to the Masada Kedushin and the brachas and so on, but in some circles, the edim is the highest kavod because that means this person is clearly a tzaddik by me, and he can be qualified to serve as an aid, and other people maybe not. Very often, when the edim are called up, the rav, his masad, will tell him to do tshuva. Make sure you do tshuva now. You shouldn't be a possible aid for the chasna. So, Rav Kook is presiding over this get, and it's in the afternoon, and it's taking some time. And then he says, I have daven mincha now. We're taking a pause on daven mincha, which is a little bit strange. That's not usually what you do in the middle of a divorce proceeding. And he goes to Korn Daven Mincha. And daven's a very long, long, protracted Shemoneh Esrei, unusually long. By the time he's done, he says, oh, look at that. The sun set. We can't finish the get today. Come back tomorrow, I'll do it again. That's it. Can't do it anymore. It has to be the same day. It's the middle of the night. Goodbye. So no one quite understands what happened. And they go home, and his personal attendant says, what happened? Like, what was that about? And Rav Kook says, I noticed that of my two witnesses for the get, one of them was writing notes on a paper from his company stationery. And therefore, he's puzzled to be a witness on the get. I didn't want to embarrass him, so I voided the get for today. Tomorrow we'll get in the witnesses for the get. That was his crime. He was writing on company stationery, his personal notes, his personal letter, whatever it is. If you have permission from the company to do that, that's okay. If you don't have permission from the company, it's not okay. And if Kook deemed this person as being guilty of a gezel by using company stationery for his own use, and therefore not allow him to be a witness on the get. So it is very hard to be 100% ehrlich and upkehitin, and especially in business and business dealings and dealing with customers and suppliers. And there are many ways that people can find leniencies for themselves, And what the Ramchal is saying is, if you want to be a Naki, you want to be a Tzaddik, there's no leniencies. You got to be always above board, 100% above board all the time. The Ramchal continues. If a person does a mitzvah with what he stole, that's not a mitzvah. And the Chazal tell us, being lulav hagozel, by a stolen lulav, you're not yotze with a stolen lulav. You can't steal lulav and an esrog and think you're going to do a mitzvah. Va'adino saying, so think about this. Ker gezel chefetz gezel, v'gezel zman gezel. Stealing objects is stealing. Stealing time is also stealing. Ma'gezel sechefetz v'ois v'mitzvah nasas v'negachatagera. So if you take some an object, like a lulav, and you steal it, and you do a mitzvah with it, it's not an advocate, it's an adversary. So if I steal time, and I do a mitzvah with the time that I stole, also it becomes a kitrik. If a person needs to daven mincha on company time, he has to square that with the boss. He has to make sure it's okay. If I have a lunch break, then I'm allowed to do what I want, I'll daven mincha on my lunch break. I'll make sure to take my break when I can daven mincha then. Right, but you can't just decide it's mincha, so that overrides everything. Even if it's a firm religious boss, it doesn't mean you could take off time to daven mincha. So take on your lunch break, on your time, not on the company time. Why should the company pay you to daven mincha? That's not what they're paying you for. What does the Ibn Hashem want? The Ibn Hashem wants people who are trustworthy, upright people. Open the gates and let the righteous nation, those who are trustworthy and honest. I want the ones who are ne'amonim to be with me. Hashem looks to emuna. What did Eiv say? That my steps didn't veer from the road and nothing stuck to my hands. Look how beautiful this analogy is. He compares the gezel, when you steal, but it's not apparent, like something which clings to your hand. It's not like he went there to take it. It just got stuck there. So but it's in his hand. So too with this. Even though the person doesn't go and steal outright, it's very difficult to be totally free of gezel. Where does this come from? It comes from, instead of the heart mastering the eyes, that it shouldn't allow him to want what other people have. Instead, rather the eyes go and draw the heart to find allowances for that which they think is beautiful and desirous. So Eiv said, "Shehu lo kenas." He didn't do that. If his heart did not follow his eyes, therefore nothing was in his hands that shouldn't be. Look at this deceitful business practices. It's so easy for a person to convince himself, and he'll stumble. When it would seem that isn't it appropriate and proper to make your merchandise look as good as possible? Will a stock be a gay kapov, the darbra lef a kaina, the manis faso, and shouldn't it be allowed to make profits when you are a good salesman and make a good sales pitch? The Yomal Kozas, so we say about this, Yezor's Veniska, there are people who are quick and profit, Vyat Chavutzim Ta'ashir, and the diligent become wealthy. Anim imlo yidaktik v'yishko masahar, but if you're not careful in how you do it, instead of the wheat, you get the thorn. You'll end up violating the Isser of Onas Mammon when you do the Torah tells not to do that. It's forbidden even to deceive a non-Jew. A Yid does not speak false or a lie. Nothing deceitful. So they say, it's forbidden to paint old equipment, old furniture, make it look like new and pretend that it's new. You can't mix high quality fruit with poor quality fruit, even though they're the same crop, to make them look like they're all good. Even if something was worth a dinar and a trisis, it's a coin, small coin, you don't mix them in and sell them for a sub a dinar. People who do this are doing sins, like it says, avel, soni, meshukets, cherem, toeva, all kinds of words of wrongdoing and disgusting and despised and detested. These are common business practices. You have a package, you don't put the worst part of the item up top for everyone to see, put it on the bottom, no one sees. But it's there, it's not been removed, it's in there. So that's not right. And you can't polish up something which is ancient to make it look like it's new and pretend that it's new when it's not. You can't market something as brand new when it's used. All these things are deceitful practices. You want to point out the benefits of the product and you want to explain why the customer will benefit by purchasing this. You could do that. That's legitimate. But you can't lie about the quality of the product. And you can't hide the blemishes, which is very challenging for an Ehrlich businessman. You can't hide the blemishes. You have to point out the blemishes. If I'm selling my car, I know there's a problem. I have to tell the buyer there's a problem with the car. I usually don't sell my cars. I can't go through with a sale, tell them all the problems with my car. You can't sell it without telling the problems. To say, well, in the law of the land is buyer beware. It's not on the seller's responsibility to tell anything to the buyer. The buyer has to figure it out on his own. Take it to a mechanic, you decide for yourself. I'm not telling you anything. That's not the Torah way. The Torah way is you're upfront. This is exactly what it is. And there's no deceit and no hiding and no misrepresentation of the product. There's a story about a fellow who was selling a property, a business property. It was a multi-million dollar property. And the property happened to have a problem that when it rained, there would be a leak in the basement of this huge building, like a big apartment building. There was somewhere a leak, and there was a damage that would have watered the basement. He went through the business deal without telling anyone about the problem, and he heard a shiur from his rav about being honest in business and so on. So he went to the rav and said, am I supposed to go and tell them that there's a problem in the basement? So the Rav said, listen, if you believe that the Baruch Hashem sets your panasa from Hashanah to Hashanah, it's in Hashem's hands, then you have to be straightforward. Don't be dishonest. You'll have the same panasa. Don't lie about things. Just be straight up. So they already had been along in negotiations for this. They were holding by the closing. So he goes to the closing with his lawyers and the buyer with his lawyers, and he prepares a document explaining the problem with the building. He says, before we sign on this deal, I want to make you aware that there's a flaw in the building. This is it. And he writes it up and gives it to them. They all look at it. The lawyer of the buyer says loud enough for everyone to hear, he wants to back out of the deal because he got a higher bidder on the property. Don't believe anything that's in this piece of paper. Also, you get someone else who'll pay you more. You he's already committed to this guy. He can't back out. Pretend that there's something wrong with the building. So the purchaser listened to his lawyer and ignored the paper and went through with the deal. 2 months later, there's a big rainstorm and there's water in the basement. And the fellow called up the seller to apologize for his lawyer's behavior. But he made the deal. He did the halacha. He was upfront and honest about it. And the deal went through anyway. If he would have backed out of the deal, so be it. You can't be dishonest to make a deal. So that is the Ramchal is trying to bring forth this concept. And this all these Mamar Chazal and the Psukim, it's a big nisayon. It's a big challenge. But that is the halacha. You can't be deceitful to make a deal. There's one case where we make an exception. And you may have heard me say this in the past. The halacha is you can't paint up the kelim that are older to look new. You can't hide the blemishes that are there. So the shayla was asked, if that's correct, then when a girl goes on a date, she shouldn't be allowed to put on makeup. and cover and foundation, whatever she puts up, it's hiding who she really is. It's a misrepresentation. If she puts on contact lenses, have glasses and high heels, whatever it is, maybe this is a misrepresentation. And that's not right. You have to come as you are. That's it. That's the only way to do it. And we know that's not how we do it. So the question is, so why isn't that misrepresentation? So the Stipler Goin writes an article about this, and it's in a shir, and he says, when I'm buying a horse, you have to tell me that this horse has a problem, this and this, because I don't need to buy this horse. I could buy another horse that doesn't have those problems. If I'm buying a car, I need to know what the problems are, because I get another car just like it without those problems. That's why you can't hide the blemishes. But when it comes to human being, there is no other person just like you or me. So it's not like, oh, you're hiding the blemishes, I'll find someone just like you without the blemishes. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. You are who you are, period. There's no one else like you. So in such a case, there's no misrepresentation if you put on makeup and contact lenses and all this other stuff. Because it's not like, well, I could find someone just like you who doesn't need all those things. This doesn't exist in the world. No such thing. You can't compare it to the case of the Gemara. And that's why there's nothing wrong, he says, with doing the things that we do. It's not considered a misrepresentation. The Ramchal continues, Oda Mozachas, I'll teach us, Kalagoyzes Chavira Filishara Pruta, Kilanotel Nashu Imenu. Whoever steals from his friend even a pruta, the smallest coin, is as if he kills him. You see how serious is the sin, even in a very small amount. Hashem will withhold the rain because of the sin of stealing. If you have a box full of sins, which one comes forth first to accuse? Gezel. The whole generation of Mabul, their decree was sealed because of Gezel. In Talmud Vavchas, you're going to say, "Eich Efshalon Ishlo Lishtal D'Masen Matein Ubamat Taneinu L'Ratzos Eschavreinu Alamel Hashavis." So, what do you, how am I supposed to do? Be a businessman with all these rules you're imposing on me? How is it possible to engage in business to make a sale? Chiluk Gadol B'Yeshvadav. You have to be aware of a very big difference. Kol Mashu LaHaros is a kind of Amitas Tuva Cheres Refio. If you're showing the buyer the true value and quality of the item, that's perfectly fine and good. But if your whole drive is to cover over the blemishes, also that is misleading a buyer and it's forbidden. That is the rule in business. You can always show what's the quality and benefit of the product. You are not allowed to hide and disguise and deny the flaws. Now I'm not getting into the discussion of weights and measures. We have a pasuk in the Torah, if you cheat on your weights and measures, the punishment for cheating people in weights and measures is worse than arayos. Big merchants, wholesale merchants, have to clean their weights and measures every month. Why? They shouldn't make a mistake and give people less than they should get by accident and get punished. And on top of that, you have the sin of charging interest on loans, which is a terrible sin in its own right. Someone who charges interest is considered a kofer in Hashem. If a person takes ribbis, they will not survive. He's disgusting by Hashem. They don't want him. I see no need to get into details about charging interest for Vayim Asim, who tells the Kol Yisrael, every Yid knows not to do it and is fearful of losing his Kiyas HaMesim. On the Kol Shadavar, the rule is, Kamo Shechem Simo and Rabba, the same way people desire money, and there's many ways that people have schemed to get money, Kain Shlosef Rabba, there's many ways to stumble. You want to be truly naki, you want to be truly clean of any misdeed when it comes to financial matters. Even God of addicted Grav Zerchlo, you have to be very careful to really be thoughtful about it to make sure you don't do anything wrong. Vimnika menu, and if he is clean from any gazel, Yeda, he'll know. Shigi Kvala Madriga Gadol, he's achieved a very high level. Kiram Yishastu Banofim Ram Meanfik Chesidus. There are many people who do all kinds of pious things Yet when it comes to financial matters, being the sinis betza, la yuchal gil mechosh, they can never reach perfection. Umasha amar tzof and amosi the iyov. Tzof and amosi says to iyov him often yodcha hakekeu. If you have something bad in your hand, get rid of it. Val tashke balecha avla. Don't let avla, anything corrupt or sin, be in your tent at night. Ki oz tisa panecha mimum v'yisen mutzak v'lo sira. Because then you'll be free of blemish and strong. Don't be afraid. All this is details of just one mitzvah. And really, for every single mitzvah, you could find the same list of details. I'm just going to focus on the ones that are more common, but you realize in the kiyas, you can have the same dissertation in every single lois essay of all the details of the Isser. But Rav Chal is not going to go into every one of them, just the large ones. So you have with Gezel the issue of being careful with other people's time when you're hired to work for them. You have the issues of never thinking you could do a mitzvah with something stolen, whether it's an object or time. Being careful in your business dealings to be always on the up and up, the way the Gemara describes that tzaddikim would always make sure their customers got a little more. If they do the weight and measure and they're charging them for a pound, they're getting a little more than a pound. That's to make sure they didn't shortchange their customers. This is how a tzaddik makes sure he's never doing something wrong in business. And in buying and selling, you have to be very meticulous and not misrepresenting a home, a car, an object, anything you're selling that's not mutter. And they don't talk about cheating and weights and measures or charging interest, where Chazal say chasron, a person has no haba. So there are many, many challenges in being an erlich business person. And to be a naki, you have to make sure that you do everything exactly the way you should. And again, whether you're a business person, whether you're an employee, it always shows up. The opportunities to be nichshel are there. And you have to be very careful to be above board in all your business dealings.